Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you for that great special, the good choir. Thank you, Colin, Noel, for the offertory. I tell you, I got out of breath just watching Colin play that trumpet. I tell you, that's a blessing. I appreciate it. And to all those that use their talents for the Lord, it's always an encouragement, isn't it? And just an encouragement to you young people who are training studying music and training on an instrument. I want you to feel at liberty to always to play in our services. Brother Mike is welcoming you to come and to participate, whether it be an offertory or playing during the service, any way like that, you can use your talents for the Lord. I want to tell you, it glorifies Him. Because we do not receive talents from the Lord to use selfishly. Amen? We are blessed with talents to use for the glory of God. And because it's not about us, it's about Him. And so therefore, when we see that gift, we use it for Him. But nevertheless, I am so thankful for our music ministry and be in prayer for our choir tonight as they'll be getting ready for the nativity. And those things. Also good to have Sarah Fish here. Sarah, would you raise your hand? Just wave at everybody. A little higher so they can say, there you go. Amen. Sarah Fish is one of the missionaries we support from our church. She's on her way to the Dominican Republic and to serve there with a church planner, working with the deaf as well as the hearing. But so thankful for her call. And she just told me a bit ago, she's nearly 50%, just over 50% of her needed support. And she's hoping to be there in the spring, right, of next year, hoping to head that way. So we pray for her. Please go by and speak with her. I think you'll be here maybe for another week or so, maybe. If you get a chance, go by and speak with Miss Sarah. Well, we are here in Ephesians chapter 6, and we have talked about the responsibility and the role of the wife, the Spirit-filled wife. We have talked about the role and responsibility of a Spirit-filled husband. Today, we're going to talk about the role and responsibility of Spirit-filled children. Spirit-filled children. Now, before I continue on in this message, I must make a promise. All right? That promise is, I have some pretty good-looking candy in this thing here. And what I want to do, for all you young people, all right, even up to the age of 18, if you so desire, I have a nice piece of candy that I would like to give you at the end of the service. If you are respectful and pay very close attention to the message and not squirming around and paying attention, being respectful, I will give that to you. You say, Pastor, is this a bribe? No, it's a promise. And that does go along with my message as well, because the Lord is going to make you a promise. And He has made you a promise, young people. And it's not a bribe. It's a promise. And I want to talk about that here in just a minute. But you see me in the foyer at the end of the service. And parents, if they did not cooperate, do not let them come and get candy, okay? And I'll let you discern that one, all right? And of course, it's at your discretion if they can have any, period. All right, but if they can, I would be glad to give that to them. Well, today's message is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Let me read that. It says here, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Let's pray together. Lord God, you know, in preparation of this message, the things that you've put on my heart. And Lord, I confess to you, I cannot convey and communicate them without your power. Without your help and being clear to the young people and even all those that are in attendance, I pray that you would use this message in every heart present, not just the young people. And I pray that you would transform us, Lord, and into the people of God you're calling us to be, and help us to understand the great importance of honoring our parents according to the will of God. Lord, help us in this and guide us, and we pray you'd help the children, Lord, to listen closely and to be respectful, and Lord, to be encouraged and changed by the Word of God this morning. I do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As I think about this message, I want to just make an opening statement here that I believe is the truth coming from the Word of God, and it is this. In order to have a happy life, according to this scripture, children, you must obey and honor your parents. I'm going to say that again. In order to have a happy and blessed life, you must obey and honor your parents. Now, before I go on, let me make this statement. The role of a spirit-filled child is no easier to fulfill than a spirit-filled wife or husband. And quite frankly, it may be even harder. You think about the context of a spirit-filled child. Children here, you think you that know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to learn from the Word of God that you have God living in you. After you received Christ, He took residence in your body, and He's going to help you be obedient and honoring to mom and dad. But that doesn't necessarily make that task easy. But it most definitely makes it possible. And we see here that it is a tough one. You think about a little one coming in this world, and you know, they come into this world and everything revolves around them. And there are some children here under the sound of my voice, and they still believe that. It's a fact of life. They come in and everything is given to them. Your diapers are changed. You're hand fed and you're cuddled and everything. Every time you, mom and dad come running and they rock you and give you that attention, and that goes on. But then all of a sudden, and from the child's perspective, all of a sudden these things start coming to their mind and to reality. And the fact is, somebody is trying to make my life miserable. You mean they're not responding to my crying and whining anymore. They're not doing to exactly like they have been done before. I'm not getting my way in everything. But you see, we have to understand that a child, as they are growing up, their minds are developing. And young people, this is for you to have your parents give some sympathy and to give some mercy, because they're learning very much how not to be selfish when they have been catered to and the world has revolved around them as they're coming up in age. And so that's a requirement for us parents, to be patient, to be long-suffering, to be gentle, as we'll talk about in the next message about the Father nourishing and cherishing and doing those things to bring that child up. And so it's important to understand that. But we also understand, and something to help us, hey, dads, how difficult is it to be a husband that loves his wife as Christ loves the church? It's difficult, isn't it? Would you say amen? It is. It's not an easy task. It goes against our selfishness. But wives, I'd say the same to you. How, isn't it hard to submit and follow your husband in the Spirit all the time? Would you say amen? Wow. Yeah, that's pretty good. Just a few of you think it's difficult. Guys, you're blessed. Amen. No, it's difficult because it goes against selfishness. It goes against that desire that, no, I want to be in control, and no, I want to be selfish for the husband and wife. Well, listen, let me tell you, it's no different for the child. And so remember, husband and wife, when the same way you struggle with selfishness, so does your child. And we see here that God is going to address specifically in this portion of Scripture the role and responsibility of the children. I have 3 points here this morning. The first one is obedience. That is what we see. Now, isn't it interesting how Paul addresses the children? What does that tell me? Well, that tells me a couple things. It is likely that there were, I'm not saying for sure, but it's likely that there were children in the service where this letter was going to be read. Likely children your age, sitting with their parents, sitting around in the congregation, that were going to hear this epistle, the Ephesians. The epistle of the Ephesians read to them. It's also possible that even if they weren't there, that the parents were going to read this to their children in the home. And so Paul takes it upon himself to take the portion of Scripture to direct his attention to the little ones. And we know that all those involved will be benefited and helped as well, because we know the Word of God is profitable unto all. All of it is. But he takes this, and you notice that first word he says there, look, young people, in your Bible. If your parents are holding your Bible, you can point that word out right there. It says children. That's you. That's you who he's speaking to, the young people, those that are still in the home, still under their parents' care. It says here, children. And then he says this, obey your parents. Now, who are we to obey? Kids, who are we to obey? Parents. It says parents here. Now, who are the parents? Now, the parents are those God-given. God has given you parents to care for you physically and spiritually. All right? Let me ask you something, young people. Did you enjoy being in a warm house last night and this morning? Would you say amen? Young people, come on, you can talk to Pastor. I'm not going to hurt you. Did you enjoy sleeping in a warm house last night? All right. Let me ask you this. Did you enjoy that breakfast that hopefully you had this morning? Would you say amen? Did you enjoy that supper you had last night? Would you say amen? Okay, I must have one young person here. Young people, let me encourage you. Parents are those that are providing for you physically and spiritually. God has delegated these people in your life. It could be a single parent. It could be a grandparent. It could be a set of grandparents. Whoever it is, it's that those people that God has placed in your life to provide care and nourishment for you, and something that is going to be a help to you. Now, you have to listen to this, because this is really important. You think about how they provide for you, and this is something that you will learn to appreciate as you will honor them. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. You're thinking right now of obedience. They give you the clothes. How many of you kids are wearing clothes this morning? Hopefully all of you. You know where those clothes came from? Most likely they came from mom and dad. They came from those that are helping meet your needs. Most likely that's where they came from. Because why? That's who God has given you to do that. They gave you the food that you had, the clothing, the shelter, over these rains. I think about it, you know. I think about people, you know, a lot of times we take for granted the dry homes we live in. I think about it often, you know. There are many people out even on the streets of Athens that had to sleep in the rain last night, or the night before, whenever we got all that rain. Brother Ray said we got about 3.5 over here. That was a lot of rain. And thank God for the shelter. But that shelter just didn't magically appear. God has enabled your parents, and we'll talk more about that, to provide that for you. So that's who he's telling you to obey. The people that he has put in charge of your life. And by the way, this idea of the guardians and the parents always being there, that we are to obey. Sometimes it is in that specific stage of life from birth to around 18. That's primarily, sometimes older, but that's usually the average age. But you know, even it goes beyond that, times where, you'll have to listen, take heed to what mom and dad say, just if they offer some really good advice. I think about the illustration I read recently, when this man's pager went off during a council meeting in Knoxville, Tennessee, true story, police chief Phil Keith was startled to see that the call was from his mother. Concerned, he rushed to the press table and phoned her. Phil Keith, she said, you are chewing gum. asked his mom, who had been watching the council meeting on cable television. And of course, the police chief said, "Yes, ma'am, that's true." She said, "Well, it looks awful. Spit it out." And you know, Keith dutifully removed the gum and went back to his meeting. True story. Sometimes moms do just give that advice that helps. But with all seriousness, there is a need to understand that the parents are the ones God is saying to obey. Now, who says this? Is it the parents saying obey? Honestly, they may say obey, but honestly, kids, you got to understand this. Listen up. The one who is telling you to obey your parents is the Lord. It's God. God is the one who says right here, obey your parents. How do I know that? Because notice that word right there, in the Lord, that phrase, those three words, in the Lord. You are obeying your parents because this is what the Lord has said. I got a little 3-year-old now, and every time I say something, her response is, why? She don't even know what I'm saying. I mean, for instance, you could tell, you know what I'm saying, because I'll say, now, honey, do not bite your brother. Why? It's fun, she thinks, I guess. Honey, don't hit your sister. Why? All right. Honey, be sweet. Why? Do we adults ever feel that way? Honestly, you know, somebody's being a jerk to you and you're reminded by the Holy Spirit to be kind to this person and forgiving. And in your heart and your old nature, you're thinking, why? It's there. But why do we obey? Is because God says this is right. Obeying your parents is right. And not only is it right, you know what Colossians says, children? It is well-pleasing. Kids, can you say that with me? Well-pleasing. One more time. Well-pleasing. Do you know what that means, young people? That means, this boggles me, but that the God of heaven and earth, when He sees little children obeying their parents, it makes God happy. God's happy with you when He sees you obeying your parents. What does that mean? What we see, who we obey, we see who says obey, and that's the Lord saying we obey. And I'll tell you how that looks. It's because when we have a babysitter, and some of you here have done that for us, and we're thankful, and I hope you're not scarred for life. But you have done that. This is what we tell our children. And many times I'll say it in front of the babysitter. I will say, now children, you are to obey so and so just like you obey us or are expected to obey us. I said, they will hold you accountable. You can get in trouble. Okay? You can be corrected. You will respect them. You will follow our rules. We are giving them that authority. We are passing that on to them while we're gone for the evening. And so I'm going to ask them when we come back. And so I'm delegating that responsibility to the babysitter, and I'm making it clear to the children. And children, that's what God is doing in this passage. God Almighty from heaven is saying, children, listen to me. I am giving you parents. And I am telling you to obey them as you would obey me. By the way, that's the theme we see on the home. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord. It's the theme. Because it's unto Him, is it not? Our obedience is ultimately up to Him and what He's told us to do. That's what we're going to do. And so we see, how do we obey? What does obeying look like? Well, I'm glad you asked. This is what obeying looks like. I believe I would sum it up in two words here. Obedience, according to this passage, would be doing what you're told. And not just doing what you're told, but doing it swiftly and sweetly. Swiftly means you do it now, right away. A guy sitting, a young man's son, got out of Marine camp, went to boot camp, studied to be a Marine, a soldier. He went to be a true Marine and came back from Paris Island, and his dad was with him when he graduated. And on their way back on the flight, he's sitting beside his dad, and he looked to his dad and he said, "Dad, I want you to know something. I understand what now means." You know what he was saying? He went to boot camp and understood that when they tell you something, they mean it to be done immediately. And that's what obedience is. How does that look? Sally, clean your room. Sally says, okay, Mom, or okay, Dad, and goes and does it immediately. Johnny, pick up your toys. Johnny says, yes, ma'am. He picks up the toys immediately. Sally, put your phone away. Okay, put my phone away. Listen, Johnny, don't listen to that kind of music, here or there. Yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. I won't listen to that. It's just simply, okay. But you know, God tells it, goes it and takes it another level, not just doing what you're told, but doing it with the right attitude. Now, young people, this is where we struggle, and I'm not picking on you because I want to tell you something. Your pastor does struggle with a bad attitude. There are times and days when I'm not listening to the Spirit of God and I have a bad attitude towards my wife, or I can have a bad attitude toward my children. Listen, I'm not picking on you. But what I am telling you here, that you must understand that God is telling you to do what your parents are telling you to do with a sweet, loving attitude. You see that word honor there. Notice what it says in your Bible. He says, for this is right. And notice number two. What is that first word, young people? What is that first word? Somebody reading their Bible? Young people, where's that first word in your Bible? Verse number two. Come on, young person, who's reading their Bible right now? Honor. That's a very special word. It's a very important word. First of all, who is it talking about honoring? The passage tells us, doesn't it? Father and mother. That's what it says, doesn't it? In your Bible, honor thy father and mother. That is who is the honoring is addressed to. Now, the question is, how do we honor? What does this look like? Okay, I've obeyed. Well, what does honoring look like? Well, let me say this. Show respect. This is what I believe it is. Is showing respect for God-given role as provider and protector of your life. You look to them as the one who God has given you to provide the nourishment you need and the protection you need from a wicked world. That is how you honor them. They provide good things and protect you from bad things. Let me make this statement, young people. Honoring is obedience with a loving and respectful attitude. Daniel, can you come up here for a second? I have an illustration I'd like to have here. Daniel, I want you to be the dad, okay? And I'm going to be the son, all right? And so this is how this is going to work. We're going to use the first one about cleaning up my room, okay? All right, so Dad, you're going to tell me, I'm Johnny, to go clean my room. All right, go ahead.
Clean your room. Don't forget the closet.
Clean my room? Don't you see I'm playing the Wii right now? Dad. Now, young people, do you think that's obeying or honoring? All right. Next one. Same one. Say it again.
Go clean your room.
Okay. Now, I went and just cleaned my room. I did clean it. Did I obey? Yes. But I did not honor. See, I can obey without honoring, but I cannot honor without obeying. Let's try again.
Go clean your room.
Yes, sir, Dad. No eye rolling. No huffing, puffing, slamming doors. Now listen. I'm telling you, it's a temptation. I'm not picking on you, young people. But if you want to honor, thank you, Daniel. You may be seated. Appreciate you, brother. I'll tip you later, okay? We see that that is what God is referring to. It's the attitude. I'm going to share something with you, and with God's help, I pray that I can rightly convey it. Heard a message from Pastor Dan Dietrich over in Missouri it was a few months ago, and I feel like it just really impacted my life and has helped me understand some things. He preached a message on this passage that we're in this morning. And it's on the power of honoring father and mother, whoever that parental guardian is in your life. He made the point by honoring parents. Listen, young people. He made the point by honoring your parents, you are actually honoring their life. The life that they exist by, how they function and how they live, their very being. By honoring them, you are honoring that life. How does that look? Well, you understand that which they do, they give their life because in order to provide and protect you every day of your life, they must give of their life, at least a portion of their life every day. He gave the simple illustration of the boy that comes in from school. And of course, you know how school just makes you hungry. And the little boy came in that day and he was just exceptionally hungry and he threw his books down on the floor, his book bag on the floor, ran into the kitchen and his mother's in there getting supper together, getting ready and says, "Mom, I'm starving. I want something to eat so bad." And sure enough, his mother said, "Honey, we almost have supper done. I am nearly there. Let's just wait." But he insisted, "Mom, I'm starving. I want something to eat." And so she did concede and she made him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and gave him a glass of milk. And he sat there at that table and he got into that thing and he took a couple bites and took a couple sips. But then he heard something. He heard his buddies outside playing. And buddy, it wasn't a split second. He was gone. There on the table lies, there's this half-eaten sandwich and a half a glass of milk sitting there. Now, that maybe is not a big deal to you. You say, "Hey, what's the problem?" Well, what's the problem is that sandwich and that milk ended up being wasted. Ended up being thrown away and the milk poured out because it sat there for a while. And I want to teach you something here. That may not be a big deal to you, but let's talk about where did that peanut butter and jelly sandwich and that glass of milk come from? Well, you say, "Pastor, that's easy. It came from the grocery store." Well, partly. It really didn't. You got to trace it back further than that. You say, "Oh, that's easy." Oh, yeah, Pastor, see Mom and Dad do this one all the time. They get there. It comes from that plastic card they use at the grocery store. I think you know this, most of you, but young people, let me tell you something. Money does not come from these things. I mean it, all right? You say, "Hey, that's easy. It comes from the ATM. Mm-mm. Money doesn't come from the ATM. You can get money there, but that's not where it comes from. You say, "Oh, okay. Well, oh, I know where they get it. Those people they work for each week, they give it to them." Well, partly. Let me tell you where that money came from that bought that loaf of bread, that bought that jar of peanut butter and that jar of jelly and that gallon of milk. I want to tell you where it came from. It came from the life of your mommy and daddy. Whoever is going to work, and I count it even if there's only one working. The other one is making it possible to be at home with the children and they're working just as much. I believe a stay-at-home mom, I believe it is a full-time honorable job. Say amen right there. And so I do believe whether it's both parents or one parent, that life, because what they did is, I'm just going to use parent, that parent went and put in a 40 to 70 hour work week that week. They exerted effort and strength and energy and stress. Perhaps we're in a hostile environment from a mean boss or just mean people they're dealing with or a very stressful situation. And they go in and out every day. And when at the end of that week, that company says, "Okay, you gave 40 hours of your life. We're going to pay you for that." So that life was given in exchange for some money. So what that money came into the account, guess what? Whoever buys the groceries, that money goes into the account. Guess what happens? That money starts going places. That money goes to the grocery store and gets groceries for the week, 100 to 150. Then that money goes to the power company. That power company to keep the lights on. Then you know where that money goes? That money goes to the different bills that are being paid. The water, for have the running water turned on. And then that money comes in, you go to the Belk or the Walmart or the Kohl's or wherever it might be to buy clothing for you. That money goes there. And so on. And you know what is going into each of those things? It is the life of your daddy or your mommy. And the quicker, children, that you can realize that, it will change your perspective on how you look at your parents. Because you will see the very clothes on your back as a part of your parents' life. That they poured out. So because this wasn't given, this was given what you have, the things you have. It was given as a part of their life. And you may say, hey, there's nothing too bad about wasting, and I know there are going to be times where we're wasteful and things, and that's not the point. The point is to illustrate a very important truth here. You see, young people, the money that pays for all these things does not come from those cards or ATMs or banks. Money comes from time, and time with energy. It requires life. And how are we to honor them in knowing that truth? Well, I'll say, number one, we honor them by obedience. Simply doing what you're told. You honor by your attitude, as we mentioned. You change the way you regard them. No eye rolling, no door slamming and stomping. Because let me tell you something, young people. I'm not being mean to you, but I'm trying to spill my heart out to you. The next time you roll your eyes or curse your mom and dad because of something they did that you don't agree with, why don't you just go cut them on the arm? Why don't you just go cut them open? Because they've poured out their life all week and they're trying to provide for you and protect for you and show their love for you. And your attitude, the way you dishonor them, you have no regard for their life. I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you what I believe honoring means. You're honoring, when you honor mom and dad, you honor their life. What they have given on your behalf. It's very serious. That's why God put it in the Word of God. And by the way, that's why He put a promise to it, I do believe. But we see here, honoring is important to God. We remember the work they put forth. We remember them buying the things that we don't even deserve. But then there's the threatening and name calling. And then the closed door, there's the cursing to friends and siblings, mocking. I want to tell you, that's dishonoring to God. And there's a penalty for that. There is a penalty. But we see here, not only do we honor by obedience and our attitude, but we honor by our gratitude. This is where it can change you, young people. Hey, going from being, hey, why can't I have that toy or this toy? Young people, you know what you could do? You can be thankful for the toys you got and say, Mom, thank you for the life. Dad, thank you for the life that you gave all this week so that I could have this game, so that I could have this toy, so I could have this phone, so I could have this car, so I could have these clothes. Thank you, parents. I want to honor you for the things I have, a grateful spirit. The things they buy, the things they do, the things they provide. Listen, parent, can I encourage you, young people? You know what I believe you ought to do? I ought to believe every meal you eat with your parents, with a gracious spirit, you know what you ought to do at the end of the meal? You ought to say, thanks, Mom. Thank you for the meal. Why? Because somebody's life poured out so that you could eat that food. And it happens to be one of your parents or both of them. Mom, thank you for this meal. A spirit of gratitude. You'll honor them when you do that. I can remember my dad working 40 years. Dad was an insurance salesman. He worked hard. And I can remember being ungrateful for when Mom would take me shopping. I'd get mad at Mom because she wouldn't buy me the most popular brand of something that was high dollar, high end. And I can remember pitching a fit and whining and crying. And you know what I didn't think of, young people? I did not think of the life that my dad had spent that week earning money for us. It was dishonoring. I can see that now, how it was so dishonoring. My parents did so much for me. They gave of their life. My dad did everything he could to make sure we had. We didn't have it all, but he did so much. The house I'm in now, The house I'm in now, I'm so thankful to God for. I take no credit. The house I have now is when I look at it now, after I've learned this truth, when I look at that house, I see my great-grandfather and I see my grandfather. My great-grandfather, who died in 83, he was a contractor. He built homes. They were not wealthy people, but he did make a good living, and he retired, and then who would inherit his part of his money that he had earned? You know who it was? It was my grandfather, who died when not too far from that. He died young, as my dad did. But then my dad, who passed away in 2009, was 58, and my dad, who had lived and was getting near retirement, he died and he left an inheritance. And because of their life, because of their savings and all their hard work, God enabled Joanna and I to have some money to put towards a down payment for a house. And so when I look at that house, young people, and you gotta look at the things, you gotta look at it this way if you wanna honor them. The life, when I look at that house, that's a part of my family's life. And I need to honor that. I need to honor their hard work. I need to honor the, what they gave and saved for and toiled for, and not be a spoiled brat and take it for granted. That's dishonoring. Listen, young people, Christmas is here. And now listen, can Pastor give you some great advice this morning? Be super thankful for whatever you get, young people. Don't compare your gift with your friend's gift or with your sibling's gift. Hey, be thankful. Why? Because when you pick up whatever that gift is, mark it down. That's a part of your parents' life that they have been saving this year, that they have been building up for, so that their child could have some gifts to open. And for you to snarl and not even to say thank you, or to get a bad attitude because you didn't get what you wanted, excuse me, that's dishonoring. And God's going to hold you accountable for that. Be thankful. What God has given you and your parents and the things that you currently have. Whatever comes your way this Christmas, honor them. Make God smile, brethren. Young people, make God smile and show gratitude towards your mom and daddy, even if it's not what was on your list. We see this is so important. Don't take your parents for granted. They're not always going to be here. Oh, how I wish I would have thanked my dad more. He gave so much for me. My dad was not always kind. He was not even a spiritual man. When I was from the age of birth to 18, Dad was not a spiritual man. He got right with God when I was about 24. But my dad did everything he could to provide for us. He'd take us on vacations. He'd buy us things. Oh, how I would give anything to be able to tell Dad one more time, Dad, thank you for all that you gave me. Thank you for being hard on me. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you for protecting me. God, thank you for my daddy. And children, that's the heart that God wants you to have, to honor your parents. God will smile upon that, and your parents will be encouraged. My mom, too. Every time I turn around, my mom's trying to be a blessing. Just recently, she watched the kids for us. My mom's even had health problems, but she's wanting to reach out and allow my wife and I to go on a date, and she was willing to do that. And to keep three kids, it takes time off your life, I'm telling you. But that's my mom's heart, and I just want to honor her and thank her so much. Honoring means being responsible, taking care of things. You know that toy that you get, or those clothes that you get, or that car, or that phone, being a good steward of it. Let me tell you something, teen. If you got some ungodly things going on in your phone, and I want to tell you something, it's ungodly either way, but it's even worse and dishonoring if your parents are paying for it. Your parents are paying that bill, and you have the audacity to put the ungodly material, the things you're watching and the things you're sending and the things you're talking about. I want to tell you, that's a dishonor to God. and it's a dishonor to your parents. And it should not be. Part of honoring your parents is being responsible for what they've given you, what they've purchased for you. Some of you kids here that are 5, 6, 7 years old, the toys you give, you instead of just treating them so flippantly or just treating them, just throwing them on the ground and letting them get broken so easily, hey, why don't you pick it up and go put it in your room and put it away like your parents asked you? Why don't you take good care of those things? I tell you, this time of year, we don't have to deal with it here, but one way that you can show is that you know that in this time of year when it gets cold, what is running in the house all the time when it's this cold? The heat. So you know what some kids will do, and I know there's some Jennings that I could name off real quick. You know what some kids will do? They'll walk out that door, and you know what? Wide open. I look over there, and you know what it is? It is just I just can see it. It's invisible, but I can see it because I feel like I feel my wallet hurting at the same time. But what it is, it's just a flow of heat just going right out that door. Listen, I'm not being manipulative here. I'm not trying to pick on any of you young people, but can I tell you, this is what you got to see that as. When you look at things flippantly like that, I don't care if the door's open. You don't take note of those things. You know what that is? That is the life of your parents flowing right out of that house. Why? Because they've worked all week, and Jackson EMC sends that bill, Georgia Power sends that bill. Guess what? Your parents are going to send them some money. Where'd that money come from? It came from their life. Their life. And when you realize that and let that affect your heart, I'm telling you, brethren, you will want to honor your parents. And when you obey them, you will want to do that. I can remember, and I feel bad for it now, and I know the Lord has forgiven me, but I remember borrowing my dad's truck, and he had a little S10, little green S10 truck, and I remember I'd get my buddies, and we'd go over to another neighborhood, and we would do some crazy serious burnouts. And I remember getting into power breaking, and man, I can just remember the more smoke we saw, the more excited we got. But you know, that was fun in all games at the time. But you know, looking back on that, I want to tell you, that would have been my own me if it was my own stupidity, if I was paying for those tires. But you know who was paying for those tires? My dad was paying for them. And I didn't think about it now, but you know, just burned up. You know how much tires cost? They can cost up to $100 a piece, some tires. They're very expensive. And when I do things like that, without any regard of what my dad did to put those tires on that truck and for him to go for a long distance, you know what that is me? That's simply me dishonoring my dad's life that he poured in to make sure that truck had some tires. Let me close very quickly. You see the way you honor, but let me just show you the blessing. Notice in your Bible it says here, and notice that it may be well with thee. Why obey and why honor? God says that it may be well with thee that thou mayest live long on earth. And notice that the second part of verse 2, the first commandment with promise. In other words, this was the first commandment that attached a promise to it. Okay? This was the first one to come to that had a promise because all the others didn't have a promise. So it's not the first and second and necessarily order. Because the other commandments, 6 through 10 didn't have a promise. So what it's saying here is the first commandments that's going to deal with having a promise. And we want to see here, it's talking about in rank. Why is it so important to honor mom and dad? Now get this, young people, this is why. Because God has chosen them to teach you the Word of God. Young people, they're going to teach you about the holiness of God and not using the Lord's name in vain and having no idols. They're going to teach you not to lie and steal and murder through your anger. They're going to teach you these things. And God has put a delegation upon their lives. He has put an appointment upon their lives. He has appointed them that they be the ones. And it says that if you will honor them, God says, I'm going to bless you with a long life. Does that mean you're going to grow up to be 100? Might. But it doesn't necessarily mean that. You know what it means? It means a fulfilled, happy life. You honor and respect, you have a full life, that it may be well with thee. Listen to this quote by Warren Wiersbe. Listen up, teenagers. But life is not measured only by quantity of time. It is also measured by quality of experience. God enriches the life of the obedient child no matter how long he may live on this earth. Sin always robs us. Obedience always enriches us. I can take you to missionaries who went to the field in full obedience in their teens and in their early 20s and gave their life on the field. Wait a minute. You mean they died that early? They must have not been right with God. No. In fact, the total opposite. They lived such a fulfilling life that they went and gave their life for Christ, and they forever, their testimony forever lives for the glory of God. That's a full life. But you take somebody like Samson, who his mom and dad said, don't you go over there and mess with those girls. They are ungodly. They do not honor the God of Israel. You stay away from them. God has provided many godly girls around us. You stay away from them. Samson wouldn't hear it. So how did Samson end up? You know the story. Lost his eyes. Lost his testimony. Eventually he lost his life. That is what happens when a child dishonors their parents. God cuts them short in their fulfillment of life. A troublesome life. You think about Jacob. Jacob's an example. Jacob lived a long time, up to 100, but his life was with trouble because he started. What'd he do? He listened to his ungodly mother and deceived his father. His mother was being ungodly at the time, and he deceived her. He deceived him, his daddy, Isaac. And he had trouble all his life if you follow the life of Jacob. God used him at points, but it was so filled with trouble. Just heard a recent illustration over from Illinois. There was a girl that was confronted by her mother in the house, and the mother said to her, honey, you're not wearing that out. I don't feel comfortable with that. You're not going to wear that. And that girl bucked up and said, Mom, I will wear this. This is my body. I can do with it as I choose. I'm going to wear this. And their mother said, over my dead body, you are not wearing that. You go back in there and change right now. So she, of course, stomped back in there, put on the dress that her mother wanted her to wear. And she went off to school. And on the way out the door, before she slammed that door, she said, I wish you were dead. Slammed the door. She went on to school. And wasn't long into the day of school when a state trooper showed up at the school. He went to the principal and said, I need to talk to this young lady. Can you meet with us? Can come? She came to the office, and the state trooper took his hat off, put it over his heart, and said, honey, sit down. I have some bad news to share with you. He said, honey, your mom was in a terrible car accident, and she did not make it. She passed. And the girl just lost it. She went hysterical. And even at the funeral, it was so hard at the funeral because that girl was wanting to climb up in that casket and grab her mother by the shoulder saying, Mama, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it, Mom. It was too late. A moment of dishonoring that mom, and she'll forever live with that. But young people, listen to the sound of the voice of your pastor this morning from the Word of God. Your testimony doesn't have to be that way. You can honor the parent God has given you and show them that love even when you don't agree with them. God will give you the power by His Spirit to love them and to honor them just like He calls you to. You say, you don't know my parent. You don't know my parent, Pastor. I know some things you don't know, Pastor. Listen, I understand that may be true because you probably do know some things I don't, but get this, that doesn't matter. We know that God is not going to allow that abuse that we see rampant in society, these pedophiles and others, that is just ungodly wickedness going on. God does not expect any child to be victim of that. We are totally adamantly against that mess. But I want to tell you something. You're just talking about petty carnal stuff, maybe some hypocrisy. Hey, listen, God still calls you to honor them. Let me tell you, somebody that honored their parents that were sinners. Because you know what, children? Your parents, your grandparents, they're sinners. They make mistakes. They sin. They say mean things sometimes that they shouldn't. They're mean to each other. Mom and dad are mean to each other sometimes. You know why? Because they're sinners. But they're hopefully growing in grace, in overcoming sin. Do you know somebody in the Bible as a young person submitted to their mom and daddy who were sinners? His name is Jesus. Do you know Joseph and Mary were sinners? I'm sure there were times that Joseph and Mary got in an argument. I'm sure there were some things they said to each other that were ungodly. I'm sure they treated Jesus sometimes unfairly. Maybe they favored some other kids above him, some of the other children above him. I don't know. But they were sinners. But you know, the Word of God says in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, the Lord Jesus, it says that He was subject unto them. That means He was submissive to His mom and daddy. All the way up through His years in the home, the God of creation, the Holy One who had no fault, put Himself under two sinners, Joseph and Mary, and their authority and their leadership. That's what the Bible says. So, young people, you have no excuse. Do not use that thing, you don't know my parents. They're hypocrites. They're unfair. They do this. They tell me to do that. Listen, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor them. And if God, if you do that, I want to tell you, God's going to have His blessings upon you. And you're going to live a happy, fulfilled life. Not that you're going to be without trouble. You'll have trouble. But you will live a fulfilled life for the glory of God. In closing, let me say this. Young people, you've done so well listening. And adults, you have too. Let me say this. Many parents, please parents, this one's for you. Please listen very carefully. Many parents are afraid to do what they know is best for their youngsters. Why? They're afraid their children will turn against them and think they don't love them. But get this life-changing statement. At least for me, it's life-changing. Get it, please. Listen up. Your primary concern, parent, is not what they think of you now, but what they will think of you 20 years from now. Because at the time, I didn't like my dad at all. I was an ungodly person. I was not even saved. And at my time, I disliked him because my dad was in my face all the time. Son, what are you doing? Where are you listening to? Who you been with? My dad was like that. He was a disciplinarian. He was on me, and I resisted that. But folks, I believe I came to Christ because of that. I believe I am where I am because of that. And here I am at the age of 39, and I look back at those 5-year frame where I was did not like my parents. I look back and I just say, honestly, young people, listen to me. I say, thank you, God, for my daddy and for the way He stayed on top of me and the way He held me accountable. And Lord, thank you that I had a daddy that cared. So young people, let me close with this. Obey and honor your parents in the Lord, for there is great blessing and great reward if you will do so. And if not, God will cut your life short, either in its effectiveness or either in its longevity. It's a promise from God. Let's pray. Would you stand with me?